Well, we are going to finish up this morning the first chapter of Ephesians that we started last week. We only have 8 verses left, so it probably might be a shorter message this morning. So, Justin, get those burgers ready. It won't be too long. It means we'll have more time to fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you for being an awesome God. Father God, we just pray that you give us a gift of teaching here this morning, Lord. That you prepare our hearts, our minds, our ears to know those things that you want us to know. Father God, we pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit and guide us and direct us. We thank you for your abundant grace that you saved us, Lord. Father God, we just thank you again for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, in the first 14 verses of this first chapter, the Apostle Paul talked a lot about predestination, that we were chosen in him before the very foundations of the world because of God's foreknowledge. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. So God, foreseeing that we would one day receive him as our Lord and Savior, and as Paul mentioned in those last two verses last week, 13 and 14, we have a deposit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we have a deposit guaranteeing us what is to come. As Paul said in those last two verses, 13 and 14, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, in verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so Paul, praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ there in the church of Ephesus, praying that God would give them a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, of the knowledge of him. And I tell you, what a great prayer to be praying for someone. There isn't a better prayer that we could be praying for. Because the greatest and most important thing in this life, the only thing in this life, is to have the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. As we said last week, the only way to have true knowledge of God is asking Jesus Christ to come into our lives. We are born again. As we just mentioned, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and that light clicks on. And for the first time in our lives, we understand, we get it. And through reading the Word of God, we grow, and God reveals himself through his Word, through revelation of himself. But with rebirth, no one can find God. Eliphaz said to Job, who by searching can find God? We said last week, the Holy Spirit draws us. He comes alongside of us as unbelievers, and he draws us to himself. Jesus said in John's gospel, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So if we're born again, it's because it was Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, drawing us to Jesus. And being born again is just the ability to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's so much more than just saying, hey man, we believe in God. James says, you believe in God? Oh, that's good. That's great. Even the devils believe and shudder. As we mentioned before, there are two Greek words that describe believing in, knowing of. And the first one is gnosko. Gnosko is the word for you know of. I believe in God. I know of God. I'm aware of God. It's a word without action. The other Greek word is the Greek word pisteio. Pisteio is an action word. So pisteio means I believe, and I'm going to apply that belief into action. So I believe, now I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. So that's the word that describes the born-again experience. We believe, and now we're going to take action in that belief. We're on the inside, not on the outside looking in. We're on the inside. I mean, when it really comes down to one thing, either Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or he was the greatest con artist that has ever lived. And if Jesus is who he said he was, then, as the words of Pilate before the crowd, what shall we do then with Jesus? We have a choice. We could reject him and be separated from God for eternity, or we could receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and receive everything that God has for us, prepared before the foundations of the world. So we believe, pisteo, and through that belief, we have salvation. We believe in Jesus Christ and apply our faith to action. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes, pisteo, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Paul's saying, having a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Last week, we talked a lot about our hope, our calling in Christ. We talked about no matter what the Lord has us doing or where he has us doing, that God just wants us to be used as vessels for his glory and for his purpose. But what about our heavenly calling? The things that we will spend, where we will spend eternity, our calling for eternity. You know, there was a song that came out in the early 80s. And I remember at Calvary Chapel, Tri-City, in Phoenix, where we lived, everybody was crazy about this song. They loved this song. And I couldn't stand it because it wasn't correct. And it was called, Don't Be Too Heavenly Minded That You're No Earthly Good. And I kept telling people, no, it's wrong, because you can't be earthly good unless you are heavenly minded. And that's the truth. Paul says in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When our eyes are on the Lord, when our eyes are toward heaven, it puts everything into perspective. The trials and tribulations that we go through, we're not thinking, I'm dead meat, I'm dead. No, our eyes are on the Lord. And when our eyes are on the Lord, on heaven, those problems that we face shrink so small, because we're now looking at them through God's eyes instead of our own eyes. These trials, and we'll know that these trials and tribulations that we're facing are just so temporary. Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. These trials that we're facing today will soon be over. We can't even imagine what heaven is like. We can't imagine the things that God has for us. No more sorrow, no more tears. Life with Jesus for eternity, forever and ever. You think about God creating the earth, took him 6 days. Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. If they were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. God's been preparing that place for 2,000 years. When we get there, it will blow our minds. You know, my wife and I have gone on vacations, and we love going to all places. We love going to New Zealand. New Zealand, I think, is the most beautiful place on the planet. It's gorgeous. And before we go, months before we go, I get so excited. I can't sleep at night. I'm just anticipating, oh, I can't wait to go. And then, you know, you think about heaven. I mean, heaven, New Zealand compared to heaven is like Gary, Indiana. I mean, heaven is so awesome. You know, the older I get, the more I think about heaven. Now, I'm not being morbid or anything, but the older I get, the closer I get. I'm 60 years old. I may not know how much longer I have. But, you know, if the rapture occurs or if it's just my time to go, man, the grave is never full. And so I'm going to go and I'll be in eternity. And I think about that every once in a while. Like I said, the older I get, the more I think about it. It's going to happen someday soon. Think about the thought of just spending eternity with Jesus. But I also think about, aside from being in the presence of the Lord, I think about spending time with my relatives, those that have gone before me. And yes, I've had relatives that didn't believe. Yes, God could have saved them, but I just don't know if they're up there. But the ones I do know, I have aunts and uncles, I have grandparents, my dad is up there. My grandmother's up there who was a prayer warrior. She prayed for me ever since I was born that I would come to know Jesus. I know she's up there making fried chicken right now. And it's the fried chicken that won't kill you. I have a sister up there that I have never met. And so I'm waiting to meet her. So all these things we have to look forward to. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It is going to blow our minds. Paul saying that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, we just talked about our inheritance in Christ. But here, Paul wants the Christians there in the church of Ephesus to know that they were his calling, his inheritance. If we are a child of God, then we are an heir of his inheritance. We are the bride of Christ, joint heirs with Christ for eternity. Paul saying in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. God's power is the theme that runs throughout the entire Bible, starting with the very first words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As we are studying on Wednesday nights, God displaying his power in Egypt through the 10 plagues, to free the Hebrew slaves. And then God showing his mighty power when he parted the Red Sea. God showing his mighty power in and throughout the entire Bible. The working of his mighty power. Paul saying in verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The power of God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of the resurrection means that death is defeated. The power of the resurrection means that we have a choice, that we don't have to be separated from God for eternity. Paul saying in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul also says in Philippians 3, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that by if any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Everything hinges on the resurrection of the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Praise the Lord that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's the only hope we have is the resurrection of the dead. And as God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand, so we also have that hope of being with Jesus on his throne. Revelation 3:21 says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Paul saying in verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Paul says in Philippians 2:8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and had given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So every knee shall bow, under the earth, on the earth, and in heaven. Every single knee shall bow. All the non-believers, all the atheists, all the other religions of the world will eventually bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. Fortunately, it will be then too late. The fallen angels, Satan, the false prophet, Antichrist, they will all bow the knee before they're thrown into the lake of fire. All will bow the knee. All creation will bow in worship. Paul says in Revelation 5:13, every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. As we said last week, all creation was designed for one purpose, and that is the worship of God. Paul saying in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And God has put everything under his feet. And God made Jesus the head of the church. The church, of course, not being a building. The church not being a denomination. The church not being a religion. But the gathering of true believers. Those who have surrendered their lives over to Jesus Christ. Christ giving himself for the church. God giving himself to his bride, the church. Paul closing out in this last verse. The church which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Think about it. We are complete in Jesus Christ. As Paul says, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We, the church, are the embodiment of Christ. We, the church, we as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, should be a true reflection of Jesus Christ. When people see us, they should see Jesus, because Jesus Christ dwells in us. He should be a true reflection. He's dwelling in us, and so our lives should be walking with Jesus, walking in the Spirit and after the Spirit, being a light to the lost. Allowing the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ to fill every part of our being. until we are with the Lord, let us be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Told you it was a short sermon. Okay, Justin, get the burgers ready. Okay. All right, next week in chapter 12. It's a great chapter, and that's why I didn't want to go into chapter 12 today. Fantastic chapter. Paul's going to talk again about grace, that we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you, we praise you for your abundant grace that you have given us. God, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection of the dead, for without that, Lord, we would be men to be pitied among all men. Thank you for the things that await us in eternity, Lord, that we cannot even comprehend the things that you have prepared for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.